If you'll turn with me this morning for our scripture reading to the book of Joshua and the chapter 1. The book of Joshua and the chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And we want to begin our reading at the verse number 1. And there the word of God says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our heart. Our text for this morning, we'll look very specifically at that verse number 9, but of course we will be drawing from other verses. But there the word of God says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." We'll bow in prayer and we'll seek the Lord now before we come to the preaching of his word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for thine incarnate Son. We thank thee, O God, that he was the praise of angels, and yet for our sakes he was made poor. And Father, we would pray that we would see him this morning, that our hearts would be drawn to Calvary, and our hearts would be drawn to the love wherewith he did love us, and that he gave his life for us. And that he give us life as a ransom that we may be redeemed, that we may be delivered from the present evil age and be bought into his fold. Father, we pray, O God, that thou bless thy word as it goes forth from pulpit to pulpit. We think of the Reverend Kenny this morning in Hillsborough. O God, bless him. May he know the hand of God upon him. Lord, may we know thy presence now as thy word goes forth. May it find a resting place in each and every heart. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think if there is one word that we could use to describe the book of Joshua, one word that gives us a theme as we read the book from beginning to end, it is that of progress. The theme of this book is very simply progress. The children of Israel finally, after much delay, after much drama, and after much disobedience, are finally about to enter the land of Canaan. And as far as progress is concerned, now Israel were going forth with God's plan. They were going forth with God's plan for them as a nation, but more especially they were now going forth with God's redemptive plan. Because this is the land that this people will go into, and out of this people, in this land, would come forth the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God always has this redemption in view. Even in moving into this land, there is progress in redemption. There is progress in God bringing to purpose the sending of His Son to die for the people who He has chosen in Him. Now, if we come to our text and we look at chapter 1, verse 11, we see here the words of Joshua, and look what he says: "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." As I said, these are words of Joshua, and he's commanding now the people to prepare. They were to get ready now to progress. They were to get ready now to go forward, because they were going to cross this Jordan, and to cross that Jordan was no mean feat. Yet they were going to cross the Jordan, they were going to go into the land, and they were going to possess it. The language here suggests to us that Joshua had a sense of confidence. He was saying, we're going to cross this Jordan, no matter how impossible that might seem. We're going to go into this land, and we are going to possess it. There's no ifs, there's no buts here. He's saying, we're going in, and we're going to take this land. They were confident, he was confident, and the people showed their willingness to obey Joshua, because they would do what he commanded. Well, isn't that a wonderful picture of the Christian life? If there's one thing we seek to do as Christians, though we do it so imperfectly, we seek to go on with God. We seek to progress. We seek to walk forward with Him, and the goal of your Christian life is that you would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would be conformed into His image, that process that God has begun in your life through saving you would be completed, that you would be more like Jesus. And I ask you this morning in this meeting, do you desire to be like the Lord Jesus? As you read of Him in the Word, as you obey, as you see these commands of God, these imperatives set before you, do you desire to obey God? Do you desire to be like the Savior? Because this is what this is. It's obeying God. It's being more like Christ. And this is the only way to progress in the Christian life. There's no other way. To not progress is to be on the wrong side of the Jordan. And the one thing I think that must be said is, a person who professes to be saved, and yet they're not progressing with God, it shows that there is something very wrong. There's something very wrong. We ought to be going on with God. And where do we find our assurance? Where is our confidence in these days? It's in His Word. We go to His Word. Because when we go to His Word, then we know God. And then when we know God, we know His will. And when we know His will, we begin to pray His will. And we begin to do His will. And then we begin to be more like His Son. Didn't Joshua do that here? Joshua had a meeting with God. He met with his God and he got His Word. And he got a word from God for himself, for his situation, for the people and what they were to do. And that's what we must do daily. We must get to the Word. And not only get a word, but get a word for ourselves. And seek the Lord through His Word. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when we meet with our God. Oh, when we meet with Him through Jesus Christ. When we see His living Word, when we enter into the throne of grace, oh, then we know what we must do to progress. We know then that we are in communion with Him, that we're at the center of His will as Israel were here. So we can be encouraged this morning. And we can ask this question: what did God say to Joshua to encourage him to go into the land of Canaan? That's what we'll look at this morning. Very quickly, God's encouragement and view of progression. God's encouragement and view of progression. progression. First encouragement Joshua had here is that he had a promise. He had a promise from the Lord, and we know the Bible is full of promises. And we know that the one who gives the promises will never break a promise. And we look at these promises and they give our hearts joy and hope, and they give our hearts certainty, because the Lord is telling us that he's going to do something for us in a promise. And the promise here that Joshua had was tied to the conquest of the land. He was told here, as Israel's leader, and as the one who would speak to the children of Israel, that they were going to go into the land, yes, and yet they were going to conquer the land. They were going to win this battle. They were going to go in the midst of their enemies, and they were going to be victorious. Verse number 2 of chapter 1, it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon," and remember, these are the words of God, "that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." What an encouragement this was. Joshua wasn't being told to go into the land with hope. He was being told to go into the land with absolute certainty that the Lord would give the land unto them. And then Joshua then had a supreme assurance in his heart. They were going into this new phase, this new way of life, and they were going to be victorious. And you know, we can take hope from this, because as the Church of Jesus Christ, as that visible body here on earth, we have a certain future, we have a certain hope, we know that things are going to come to pass exactly as God has said they're going to come to pass. Now, I don't know a lot about the future events, I'm not very good with that stuff, but I do know one thing. I do know that God has redeemed us. And I do know that in the future, God has a plan for his church and redemption. And he is going to do something for us. I don't know how we'll get there. I don't know what will happen when we get there. But I know I'll be redeemed. I know I'll be fully redeemed. I know that Christ will have achieved his purpose in me. There's our confidence. As we progress, progression in the Christian life leads to this. It leads to the accomplishment of your salvation. Yes, you're saved, but there's a work still to be done in you. There's a greater work to be done in you. You don't know the fullness of your salvation yet as far as experience is concerned, because there is a time when you will see the end of your sanctification, and it will be glorification. Let's read a verse about it. Romans 8 and 30 says there, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." To put this simply, when God saves you, you get a perfect righteousness. He declares you righteous in his sight. And the end of that is that you will be glorified. And what is that? That's the company of God's people. That's the fullness of them for whom Jesus Christ died, being gathered at his feet and being changed in an instant and being sinless in his sight. That's what that is. And that there is the victory. As Israel had assurance of victory, that's our victory. That's our assurance. That's our glory, that we will be like Jesus. And this verse here is spoken in a tense that really says that it's already done. So what God is saying is, as far as you're concerned, in my eyes, the work's done. It's as if we're glorified in his sight already. That's how certain it is in God's sight. That his saints will be glorified. That his church will be presented spotless to himself in the last day. This is what you would call an already not yet reality. That means that it will happen, but yet we still haven't experienced it. Does that not fill our heart with joy? No matter what happens in our land, and there's much to grieve us, it will not affect what God will do in his church. To build it and to glorify it in the last day. Nothing will stop that progress. Nothing will stop God doing what he said he's going to do for the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, Canaan was described as a rest for the children of Israel. They were going to rest in Canaan, and they certainly would at one point, but you know, this rest was not perfect. It was very imperfect. Truly, they really had no rest when it came to things. There was much to come in their history. But you know, the Bible says there's a greater rest. There is a heavenly Canaan. There's a rest that Jesus Christ can give us, and that will be rest indeed. Oh, there'll be no battles in that rest. There'll be no more wars in that rest. There'll only be holiness and praise and glory, and Christ will be there. Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." That's why you should seek to progress in your Christian life, because that is the end of it. No progress. Are you sure of the end? Because if you're not going on with God, you're sure of absolutely nothing. We have God's promises in His Word, and you know, there are a few implications for this promise that Joshua had. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, was dead." Now, this is something new for the children of Israel. Now Moses is dead. This was a mighty man of God. Moses was a mighty man in the face of the people. So long he had led this people, he had led them through the wilderness. So long had the destiny of Israel been tied to the destiny of Moses. He represented them before God. He was on so many occasions, their mediator before God. He pleaded on their behalf. And these people loved this man. And in Exodus 33 verse 11, we're told that Moses spoke unto God as a friend speaks unto his friend. Moses was a mighty man. Deuteronomy 34:10 says, "And there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." There is absolutely, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, there is nobody like Moses. And yet here the children of Israel are about to enter into this massive occasion. They're about to enter into war. They're about to go into the land of Canaan after so many years, and yet Moses wouldn't be there. Moses was now dead, and I'm sure they thought in their hearts how great it would be if Moses was going to lead us into this land. But you see, Moses now is gone, and their circumstances were changing. But we must realize something as we read this verse. What does the Lord say? "Moses, my servant, is dead." Moses, yes, was a mighty man. But Moses was a mighty man because he was a servant of God. And this fact is here before us, that Moses had strength, which was the strength of the Lord. Moses was just a servant who sought to serve the Lord with his life and who had the power of God upon him. And you know, the children of Israel were being taught here, you going on with God, you progressing, is not reliant on Moses. It's reliant on me, because Moses was my servant, and ye are my people, and you will now go forth, not in the strength of Moses, but in my strength. And we must realize that progress in our Christian lives is never reliant upon man. Things change, life changes, but we must always realize that God's promises are built upon His power to fulfill them. And we must be servants of God if we'll know the power of God. We must be His servants, we must submit to Him, if we know the power of the Holy Spirit that will see us go on with Him, and to know Christ more intimately, and to know that power that will enable us to live the Christian life. No man can give us any power, but the Holy Ghost can lead us on with Himself. The Lord can give us the power, no matter what the context. The Lord can give you the power in the context of this evil land that we live in to go on with Himself. You know, this promise was reliable. And why was it reliable? Well, the Lord was going to ensure that it would be fulfilled. Verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. See, the promise of God here was reliable because this promise hadn't changed. This wasn't the first time that the Lord has spoke regarding the promise of the land of Canaan. It wasn't a new promise in Joshua chapter 1. The Lord even traces it as far back as the fathers of the children of Israel. So we could go far back as to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Joshua chapter 6. It reaffirms this. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. See, the Lord has swore unto the fathers of the children of Israel. He had told them that he was going to give this land. And God would not be changed in this. God's promises can't be changed. When God makes a promise, it doesn't change. And he will fulfill that promise. And he has swore unto Abraham. And he has swore unto Moses. And he has swore unto them that they would have this land. And he wouldn't let them down in anything that he had promised. The Lord doesn't let his people down. And why is that? Because the Lord's immutable. Or to put it simply, the Lord is unchangeable. The Lord doesn't change. How often in our life we change our opinions of many things. But the Lord does not change one bit. We change, circumstances change, contexts change. God never changes. Malachi 3 and 6, he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." He will never change. The Lord will not turn around tomorrow and say, "I withdraw my promise of salvation." That's impossible. The Lord will never change his attitude to you, despite how many times you feel him. Children of Israel have failed the Lord so many times, and look, here he's fulfilling his promise before their eyes. Because he is faithful, and he is unchanging, and that gives us a wonderful hope within our hearts. A hope that we will progress. And you know, hope is ever as only valuable to what that hope is in. You know, our hope is not in anything but in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the captain of our salvation. He has gone before us. He has become a man. He has went to the cross at Calvary. And he has entered into the very presence of God. And there is our hope. There is the unchangeableness of God. Because Jesus Christ will never change. He will never change before the throne of God. Hebrews 6 and 19. Look what it says. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Christ is our forerunner. And he has entered into the presence of God. And he is ever there making intercession for his people. And he is praying right now that you go on with him. And he is praying right now that you will progress with him. And he is praying right now that the Lord will bring you home and you will be presented spotless before his throne. There is our security. Because God's promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And there's a vital truth in the gospel. And it is this truth that you are in union with him. You are united to him. So as he has rose from the dead, as he has gone on, so you will do what he has done. And you will rise and you will go into the presence of God. And you're in such a union that will never be broken. And you have such a Savior that will never change. And then you have a God that is reliable. And then you have an assurance that your salvation will be completed. But you know, this doesn't give us room for complacency. We have to claim those promises. You know, we can look at the Bible and say, well, doesn't the Bible say I'm going to get to heaven anyway? We can imagine then, well, we don't have to do anything. We just have to sit back. We don't have to strive, or we have to do no work. Or we don't have to do anything with regard to our Christian lives in order to progress with God. The Lord will do everything and we will do nothing. And that is foolish. Because though you have these promises before you, they are not a reality yet. The consummation of all things is not yet done in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Israel did nothing, they would never have entered into the land of promise. But they had the promise now, and now they were going to go on. Verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Here the children of Israel are called to action. They were not called to remain where they were. They were called to arise. They were called to go over the Jordan. There's this call to activity. You know, there was going to be a rest, yes, but they had now to go and take up their weapons and be prepared to battle and to press towards that promise that God had given them. We think of Paul's words in Philippians 4, verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul is saying here that he is striving, and he is pressing toward that mark. Oh, that he is entering into that warfare in order that he would claim that prize, that he would know that inheritance with God, that he would go on with God, and that he would know realize the fullness of the salvation that Christ purchased for him. And I ask you this morning, are you striving? Are you making an effort to endeavor to go on with God? Are you going to the Word daily? Are you trying to fight off sin and temptation? Are you in the battle? Because if you're not striving, then you're not going on with God. And the children of Israel could have stayed on the other side of the Jordan. Maybe for the sake of peace, they could have just stayed where they're at. And things would have maybe been easier. Because as soon as they crossed that border to go into this land, as soon as they stepped forward to go on like this, they were declaring war. And they're about to go in. And they're about to battle. And they're about to conquer. There was going to be a war now for them. There's going to be many battles. They're going to have to put many enemies to death. And when you step out for the Lord Jesus Christ, the very simple thing is you step out into a war. You step out into a war with Satan. You step out into a war with your flesh. You step out into a war with the world. And that is the inevitable conflict that you are now going to enter into when you say, I belong to Christ and I want to live for Him. There is now a war before you, and we must understand that. The Lord doesn't just save us and take us right to glory. And I don't think there's anybody here who wouldn't want that. That would be so much easier. But the Lord sends us on to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And He sends us into this conflict not with carnal weapons, but with spiritual weapons. You must realize you're going to battle. Next year, when you step out for the Lord Jesus, you're going to battle. You're going to fight. And yes, it can be hard. We must strive and we must press on and on and on. We must put to death our enemies. We must put to death this flesh that would so easily beset us and have us by the wayside. And we must go on and conquer more and more our sin and conquer our enemies. And you know, we will put the devil under our feet. And we will win the battle in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He has gone before us. I've already said this, but He has gone before us. He has conquered all the powers of hell. He has made an open show of them. And He is reigned victorious. So in Him, as we go now and as we go to battle, we will go and we will be victorious. Here's the question we need to ask this morning. Are you progressing with God? Are you standing on His promises, those reliable promises? Are you battling for Him? Are you growing in grace? Because it's absolutely vital. There's no such thing as someone who is not being sanctified. There's no such thing as someone who goes backwards in the Christian lives. It's an impossibility. We can go backwards, but ultimately we will go forward. I heard from a great preacher once that sanctification is not a possibility for the Christian. It's an inevitability. And if we're not growing in Jesus Christ again, there's two solutions here this morning. We're either very badly backslidden, or we're standing on a profession that is not real. Let us examine ourselves this morning and see, are we going on with God? I have two more points, and these are very, very, very short points, and they'll last about 5 minutes. We have the promise, there is also a presence. Verse 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." The Lord was going to send the people into the land of Canaan. They were going to go forth now, and as was said, they were going forth to battle. But the Lord was not just going to be a bystander. He was going to go with his people. He was going to go before them. Oh, he was going to be a God of war. And he was going to ensure that they would be victorious by his presence. And that's one thing we need daily. We need the presence of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he left this world, he did not leave us on our own. He told us that he would be with us always. And how is the Lord Jesus Christ with us daily? He's with us through the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of Christ is with us, then Jesus Christ himself is with us. And we can be assured then, and we can joy in our hearts that God will be with us always. He will never leave us. Or he will never forsake us. He'll be with us in the good times. He'll be with us in the bad times. He'll be with us in the sick bed. He'll be with us always. And nothing will hinder us. No enemy will stop us progressing. There is no foe that is mightier than our God. And our God is with us. And he will never leave us. Joshua 1 verse 9. "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And there's one thing that will hinder our Christian lives is fear. It's fear. Sometimes there's the fear of man that raises its head. Sometimes there's the fear of stepping out for the Lord Jesus Christ because it will cost us so much. And you know, fear come in when the fall come in. And fear will separate us from God's will. We think of how many times Abraham let God down through fear. And we must never ever fear in our lives that we'll not go on with Christ. We must never ever fear an enemy because there's no too great an enemy that we cannot conquer. Do not let fear make you go back in your life. Do not let unbelief let you remain where you are at this moment in time. Endeavor in your heart to be more like Christ next year than you were this year. We think of the children of Israel before they came to the borders of these lands. And fear cost them so much. What was only to be a simple journey cost them so much through fear, through unbelief, through sin, through pride. We must be courageous. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is described as the mighty God in Isaiah 9 and 6. And that term there has the thought of a warrior. And it has the thought of a man of valor. And wasn't our Lord a man of valor when he went to the cross? Was he not scared when he saw what was before him? Did it hinder him to go and die in our place? Then there should be nothing to hinder us to go on with him. And let us always be assured, whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're in the valley, he will be there. Philippians 1 and 6, Paul says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." See, the Lord has begun a good work in us. And he will be in us and continuing to do that work until he sees that work completed. Oh, and he sees us in all the spotless glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that presence and there's also that provision. Verse 9, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Here is the key to the Christian life. We get to the Word of God, and don't neglect those times with the Lord where you read. And I know as a Bible College student, sometimes I'm so busy it can be so hard to read the Word of God. We can never put it aside. We must endeavour to read it every day. And not only read it, we must endeavour to meditate upon it. And think upon it. And think upon the realities that it teaches us. You know, the Bible teaches us about death. It teaches us about life. It teaches us about our salvation. We ought to meditate on these truths. We ought to bring them into our minds. We ought to bring them over and over and chew on them, that we might find them in our hearts, and that we might never forget the Lord. And then we'll always remember what he has promised to us. And our hearts will be full of joy, and we'll be able to go on with him. What a wonderful provision the Bible is. These people had the Bible, they had the Word, as far as it had been written at that time, and they took it with them and they meditated upon it, and that there ensured success. Let us see then this Word as precious. Let us see our Lord Jesus Christ in it. Let us see his love for us and all that he has done for us. Let us see his faithfulness. Let us see what he is going to do in us. Let us never forget the hope that is set before us. Joshua 21 verse 45, what does it say? And I say this in closing. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. The Lord was faithful. He did what he said he was going to do. And the Lord is going to do a wonderful thing for us. And he will do it. And we'll experience it. And I ask you this morning, if you're not saved, what is your hope? If you have no promises, you have no presence, you have no provision from God, all you have is a lost eternity before you. There will be no progress for you, because there will only be eternal doom. Will you come this morning to the incarnate Son of God? Will you have him as your Savior? Will you take him? Will you begin to enter the battle of the Christian life? When you know that wonderful victory that the saints of God will know. One day we'll meet our Lord in the air, we'll be like him. I ask you this morning, will you be with us? I pray you will, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We'll bow in prayer and we'll bring our meeting to a close. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for the victory that the people of God have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that he is our great conqueror, that he has went to the cross, that he has defeated the last enemy, which is death. And now we can cry, death, where is thy sting? And Lord, there is no sting in death for the believer. For Lord, we will pass on to glory, and there we will ever be with thee. Father, help us, O God, daily to walk with thee, to enter into that battle, to go into that conflict, that we may go on with thee and be more like our Saviour and know that redemption that he has purchased for us. Father, be with us now. Bless us during this holiday season. May we remember thy birth. May we glorify thy name. And, O God, may thy name be uplifted in our lives. Part us now with thy fear and thy mercy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide. Amen. Amen.